Hello and welcome to the Stag Student Podcast, a podcast for the student community at St. Andrew the Great Church, Cambridge. This term, we're listening back to some of the best student lunch talks from the past 10 years, re-released and uploaded just for you. This week's episode is from 2014, where Matt Lee talks about pornography and lust and what the Bible says about that. Matt used to be a student worker here at Stag and now works for a church in Dorset. At the end of the talk, there's a Q&A in which he's joined by Alex Weston. She also used to be a student worker here. I hope that you enjoy listening and that this podcast is really helpful for you.
Probably in this room, people are approaching this topic from all sorts of different angles. So there might be some people sitting here thinking, you know, why do we need a student lunch on this? Surely no one who's committed at church would deliberately look at porn. It's just wrong. Someone might be saying that. On the other end of the spectrum, someone might be sitting there thinking, why is this a problem? You know, surely if porn's not hurting anyone, humans are sexual beings, so surely if someone's not having sex, then actually pornography and masturbation are just completely normal and maybe even healthy. Or someone else on your table might be sitting there thinking, no, I know that it's wrong, but actually, I still do it. I've got my laptop in my room, I've got my internet phone. Surely it's just kind of inevitable in today's culture. Let me be honest and tell you where I'm coming from. Pornography isn't an abstract issue for me. Like for many of us, it's an ongoing battle for me. And so everything I say today, I'm saying first and foremost to myself. And I think for many of us, it is a kind of secret area of our life that we try and detach from everything else. And my big prayer for this lunchtime is that we wouldn't detach this area of our lives from Jesus, but we'd let Jesus speak into it. We're talking about radical living. And for a Christian, the most important thing about any question is, what does Jesus say? So we're going to turn to Matthew 5, verse 27. Let me warn you as you turn it up that Jesus doesn't pull his punches. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. That's what Jesus says. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Jesus says that lust isn't normal. He says that it's wrong and that it's really, really serious. He says that we should take drastic action. So if we're going to go to Jesus and say, well, you know, Jesus, I need my laptop for work, Jesus is saying it's more serious than that. And you might kind of in your heart be objecting to that. Why is it so serious? Jesus, why do you care so much about what someone does in their room? And if it is this serious, you know, why aren't there more one-eyed Christians? Why don't more Christians actually carry this out and cut off their hand? So it's a good question. And my aim for this student lunch is to try and help us to understand what's going on in our hearts when we use porn. And then once we understand the heart of the issue, to try and see God's solution. And in the Bible, at the heart of sexual immorality is idolatry. So replacing God with something else. So I put on the sheet a quote from Romans 1. And this is part of Paul's analysis of the human condition. And he's particularly explaining why we see lots of sexual immorality in the world around us. Let me read that. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Now, when we think about idolatry, we tend to kind of think of it dismissively as something that kind of more primitive cultures do. And we think, you know, how ridiculous to worship an image of a crocodile. How could a crocodile possibly have made the world? But then imagine someone from one of those cultures looking at someone in Cambridge, someone with all the opportunities in the world, but a student just sitting on their own in their room, clicking on image after image, video after video. We've got to call a spade. When we look at porn, it is a type of worship, and we're just as much idolaters as that tribe that worships the image of a crocodile. In Paul's language, he would say that we claim to be wise, but we've become fools, and we've exchanged the glory of God for images of naked people in videos of sex. So what we're doing is we're replacing God. Now, you'll notice I've put a table on the handout, and the aim of the table is to try and help us think through some of the ways in which we try and replace God. It's helpful to realise that there are actually a number of different reasons why people do use pornography. Let's start it off. So sometimes when people feel lonely, they might turn to porn for intimacy. So maybe someone doesn't feel like they have many friends in Cambridge, or maybe they desperately want to be in a romantic relationship, but they don't have one, and so they turn to porn to provide that intimacy. Another reason might be porn is a reward. You know, you've worked hard all day on your essay, you're really tired now, or maybe, you know, you've been serving really hard in a Christian context at church or at CU. Well, although we wouldn't say it out loud, maybe in our hearts we're thinking, well, I deserve a little bit of self-gratification now. Next one, we might have had a really bad day. We might feel, oh, I've messed up everything. Everything's gone wrong. And then we turn to the world of porn because, you know, everything goes right and everyone thinks we're amazing. We do it to get self-worth. Or maybe we're really stressed and everything's so busy in Cambridge, it all feels out of control and overwhelming. But porn is a safe place where we can relax and where we're in control. So those might be some possible reasons. If at the deepest level pornography is replacing God and looking at the wrong images, then the solution is going to be to look at God instead. So it's going to be to see the glory of God and to see God as he really is, so that in comparison, pornography, and indeed any other idol, is just worthless. So there are lots of kind of practical tips that you could give about a topic like this, and I'll give a few later. But ultimately, they're not going to change my heart. Ultimately, the only thing that's going to change my heart is to be captivated by God's love. So if you'd like to turn to that verse from Ephesians, verse 1, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, Paul's writing these words in the context of addressing sexual immorality. So notice verse 3 immediately goes on, among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. And verse 5, he again compares sexual immorality to idolatry. But I wanted us to focus on verses 1 and 2, because I think they're the key for helping us in this area. Love, according to the Bible, is the opposite of lust. And I think our culture often kind of blurs the line between the two. So when someone talks about, oh, I'm so in love with her, what they often mean is lust, really. But in the Bible, love and lust are the opposites. So lust is all about wanting, trying to get something from someone else. Love is the opposite. Love is about giving. It's about deciding to give ourselves for someone else. And so the Bible's answer to lust is to look at God's love for us, and specifically in verse 2, Jesus' love for us on the cross. And we need to remember this whenever we talk about sexual sin. It's very easy to forget that Jesus' death pays for all our sin. That cup, which contains all of our sin distilled down, has been drunk by Jesus. It is wonderful, wonderful news, and there is complete forgiveness for us. And I think when we realise that, when we start to get a taste of God's love, then that's going to show how much better love is than lust. And when we believe that love is more beautiful than lust, it will change us. God's love is to be the motivation for living a life of love and not just lusting after porn. C.S. Lewis has written a book called The Great Divorce, and in it he compares lust to a kind of red lizard and love to a great white stallion. And the red lizard is sitting on a young man's shoulder and kind of whispering in his ear the whole time. But in the story, the young man meets an angel, and the angel offers to kill the lizard for him. And at first the man thinks, well, that's a bit extreme, isn't it? And there's a lot of backwards and forwards, which we're going to skip over. But the point in the end is that he allows the angel to kill the lizard. The lizard doesn't die. The lizard transforms into a great white stallion. Let me read what he writes next. The man flung himself at the feet of the angel and embraced them. When he rose, I thought his face shone with tears, but it may have only been the liquid love and brightness which flowed from him. I had not long to think about it, because in joyous haste the young man leapt upon the horse's back. Turning in his seat, he waved a farewell, then nudged the stallion with his heels. They were off before I well knew what was happening. I came out as quickly as I could from among the bushes to follow them with my eyes, but already they were only like a shooting star far off on the green plain, and off into the rose brightness of that everlasting morning. And then later in the book, C.S. Lewis writes, "What is a lizard compared to a stallion? Lust is a poor, weak, whimpering, whispering thing compared with that richness and energy of desire which will arise when lust has been killed." Here's the point. God doesn't want us just to spend the rest of our lives going around like this. Don't look at porn, don't look at porn, don't look at porn. No, he wants us to actively live a life of love, to throw ourselves into life, giving ourselves and serving others. God made us passionate people, not by mistake, but for a reason. And he wants us to take all of the time and energy and imagination and desire that we have and not give it to porn, but to use it for his glory and for the sake of other people. That's why Paul writes, "Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." But then here's the problem. We keep messing up. The idea of living a life of love is one that I find very appealing. I wish that I could, you know, click my fingers and that lust would disappear and it would just be completely replaced with a love like Jesus's. But it doesn't work like that most of the time. I know for many of us, porn is something that just doesn't seem to go away. And so I wanted to give just a few more practical tips under two big headings. The first one is to face up to your sin. And as I said at the start, it's very easy to try and ignore this area of our lives and to pretend it's kind of like in a box that's separate from us and that doesn't really matter. But the first thing we need to do is to confess it to God, to talk to God about it. If you think about it, God knows already what we do. But the thing is, if we don't talk to God about it in our prayers, then our relationship with God will lose reality because God knows what we're doing. But if we refuse to talk to him about it, well, that's not going to help. So firstly, confess it to God. Secondly, talk to someone else about it. One of the best ways to stop it becoming an isolated part of our lives, which we try and hide, is by telling someone that we trust. I know this is very hard, whether you're a guy or a girl, to talk about this. But I hope that if you do struggle in this area, one of the things that you'll do after this student lunch talk is to find someone to tell. Choose a mature Christian, someone who'll be able to help. If you're not sure, maybe choose your focus group leader if you're at Focus. Don't just hide it away. The third thing to say is to read that book that I put on the bottom of the sheet. So, Captured by a Better Vision by Tim Chester. If we're going to take our sin seriously, then we do need to take it seriously. I mean, it's worth, if you struggle in this area, reading a book about it, which will help. And that is a brilliant book. It's, I think, the best book I've found on this topic. We're to face up to our sin. But at the same time, the other important thing to hold on to, we need to keep believing that God's grace is bigger than our sin. So first little practical tip on that is to keep praying. It's very tempting to think, you know, I can sort this out. I'm just going to fight really hard and I'm going to sort it out by my own strength. But we can't. It's God's power that will defeat lust. And so we're to pray about it daily. Think of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us how to pray about this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So keep praying. Keep fighting as well, though. I think porn can be especially discouraging as a sin. And sometimes it's easy to think that we're just never going to win and that it's going to be with us forever. And because fighting lust can be quite hard work, it means that we're very tempted just to give up. But the Bible tells us it is worth it because we do win in the end. And so therefore, because we win, it's worth every sacrifice that we might make in trying to resist temptation. If you're not sure that you're going to win, just think about this. The Bible consistently says that God is a jealous God. So he won't let his people share his glory with idols. God is going to win this battle. God is a jealous God. We will win, so it's worth keeping fighting. And thirdly, keep serving. I don't know about you, but it's easy when you're struggling with a sin to feel like, I'm a second-class Christian until I can sort this out. God couldn't possibly use me until, you know, I've sorted myself out. But the message of the Bible all the way through is that God uses weak and sinful people. God does want to use us. And so we're not to think, I've got to stop lusting before I can do anything for God. Think of Ephesians 5, verse 2 again. Live a life of love. God wants us to actively live for him. Just to finish, I put a little quote from Micah. I think it's a great response when we feel like we've messed up in this area because it encapsulates those two things, facing up to our sin and being honest and owning it, but also believing God's grace is bigger. We could have done Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is another great place to turn, but let me read from Micah. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath until he pleads my case and upholds my cause. He will bring me out into the light. I will see his righteousness. We're to keep facing up to our sin and being honest about it. But we're to keep believing even more that God's grace is bigger.
As always, loads of great questions. And we say this every week, but I think especially this week, if your question's unanswered, please don't leave it. Particularly on this issue, I think it's something we want to be helping one another with. So please grab someone and come and chat. We'll try and get through as many as we can. Let's start here, Matt. What do you say to a Christian who struggles with pornography, who feels so ashamed and so far from God?
Thank you. Great question. And the answer is grace. It's the same gospel we believe about every sin, that Jesus' death washes us from all sin. I think we find that hardest to believe in the area of sexual sins, but it is really true. The Bible says specifically about sexual sins that we're washed from them and that Jesus' death washes us clean. It's Jesus that brings us close to God, not the fact that we're good people. And although we know that in our heads, we need to believe it in this area especially.
It's a great place to start. A few questions about masturbation. So isn't masturbation necessary, healthy, medical thing? What about masturbation without lust?
Thank you. That's very perceptive. I did deliberately go to the Bible to show that lust was wrong, as opposed to masturbation, which the Bible doesn't talk about in that sense. I think if you're sitting there thinking, I can masturbate without lusting, I'd have a few kind of things to say to you, one of which is, the heart is deceptive. Know yourself. I mean, just know yourself and kind of disbelieve yourself if you're saying that to yourself. Secondly is disbelieve our culture. So our culture does say that, you know, masturbation is necessary and that it's a healthy part of life. That's just not true. It's not like we kind of fulfill an appetite and the appetite goes away. Actually, it works the opposite. It's much more like a drug addiction. So by masturbating, it makes us want to masturbate more. So it's not healthy. And I think the Bible tells us to expect that. The Bible has a very high view of sex. It says it's a very powerful thing that God has deliberately given us. And so we shouldn't treat it lightly. But those would be a place to start.
Thank you. Alex, should we appreciate outer beauty? So as a guy, should I appreciate a beautiful woman as I look at her on the street?
Or the other way around, that works as well. Yeah, I think we can. There's a book in the Bible, Song of Songs. A lot of that is about a man and his wife and celebrating each other and enjoying physical beauty and not being ashamed of that. I would say we need to be careful not to be governed by it and not to objectify each other, not to look at each other and all we see is the outer and the physical and not the heart. And actually 1 Peter 3 is really helpful for that. So what is true beauty? It's the beauty that comes from within, a quiet and gentle spirit. And same for guys as well. So inward is very important.
What's the difference, Matt, between lust of a person and actually being attracted to them in a right way?
So the thing about lust, it's always wanting to try and get something for ourselves. So it's not just thinking, wow, that person's really beautiful. Praise God that he's created such beauty in the world. It's thinking, no, I want that person. So it's making that kind of further step, rather than just thanking God for beauty, but kind of wanting it for ourselves, rather than the opposite, which would be loving that person.
That's very helpful, thank you. A few questions about sort of dating and sort of pornography in the context of dating. So if you're in a relationship with someone and you're someone who struggles with porn, should you share that with who you're going out with? And the second question, which is, I guess, quite similar. Should we go out with someone at all until we sort of sorted the porn problem? Should we fix the porn problem before we think about dating?
I would think carefully about that, particularly what we think about last week about dating and dating being basically a friendship and help each other and to see about marriage. You probably don't want to overshare. Just thinking, am I the best person to help them with that? And it might be that as a guy and a girl in a dating relationship, it will maybe create more intensity than is helpful. But do talk about it. So girls talk about it with your friends who are girls, guys talk about it with guys. It's probably something that will come up if you're engaged. We don't want to say that this is the defining thing and this is what makes you you as someone who struggles with pornography. This is not what makes us us. And we are people who are living by grace and battling with sin every day. So it's not a, because I struggle with pornography, that means I'm not ready. However, it is thinking I need to still keep doing battle, and particularly the fact that it's a secret thing. Sometimes we hide it away and it's secret, but being honest and bringing it out and saying and kind of admitting it to ourselves and confessing sin.
So I think one kind of related thing to that is that if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I struggle with porn, what I really need to do is get married and that will sort it all out. That's not really very fair on the person you're marrying, because you're putting a whole burden on them and expecting them to solve something which only Jesus can solve. So don't get married for that reason. That would be a very bad thing to do. But again, as Alex was saying, it's not as if some people struggle with sexual immorality and other people are absolutely fine and we just need to wait until we cross that point. We all struggle in this area, often in different ways.
Thank you. Similar question. So what impact does struggling with pornography have if you want to work for a church, do Christian ministry?
It's very tempting to say, porn disqualifies me, therefore I can't do it. But we're all sinners. I think we feel this sin especially, but we are all sinners, and we're all trying to repent. And if you're repentant and you're trying to fight sin, then go ahead and try and serve God. It would be particularly important to tell people that are your boss that you do struggle in this area. But God wants us to live lives of love and not just to kind of stop living until we've sorted out porn. He wants us to actively serve, and that's the antidote to lust.
Thank you. I've got a question here about accountability groups. So someone who says, my friend doesn't like the word concept accountability groups or confessing for the sake of confessing because he thinks it becomes a kind of pity party where people compete to be more pitiful than the rest. How can we avoid this?
Cool. So I should probably explain, an accountability group, as I understand it, is someone that you've told that you've struggled with a particular sin in whatever area, and they kind of ask you about it and ask you how it's going. I think there is a danger that sometimes we can all say, I'm struggling. But I think the important thing is to remember those two big things. So both owning up to our sin and keep believing that God's grace is bigger. And if that's always a tension we feel, because we feel like if we do one, then we won't be able to do the other. But the cross tells us we need to do both. So Jesus died on the cross, so our sin is serious, and we need to take it seriously. But Jesus died on the cross, so therefore our sin has been defeated, and we will win one day. And we just need to make sure that both for ourselves and for our friends, when we talk to them about this, we hold both of those very tightly and don't just do one.
Fantastic. And then a follow-on question about how to be a good accountability partner. Alex?
Listen well, listen to each other. Make it okay to admit struggles. Don't be, be shocked by what other people say. Like, we all struggle, and that's normal to kind of struggle. I think don't make a particular sin the thing that defines your accountability as well. So share in lots of areas the ways that you're struggling. But not just, like Matt said, not just this is my sin, but how we're seeking to do battle. And ask specific questions as well. Like, sometimes we are quite vague, and I think we can, be direct with each other, and that's a helpful thing. It's a bit, scary, but it's very helpful to be direct. Pray with each other and, keep things on the agenda even when it's difficult.
So, question here. God offers us much better things than porn, but porn's promises seem to be easier to get. How can we get the idea that the rest, satisfaction, all those sort of things that we talked about that Jesus offers are kind of better? How can we be captured by a better vision?
I think we find this quite hard, especially in Cambridge, because we do tend to think kind of very intellectually and about some things, but then we kind of ignore our emotions and think that they're detached. And I think the important thing is that it does come through our minds. So as we understand God's truth, it does then, but we need to then let it come into our hearts. Helpful ways I've found is by learning verses. Maybe learn one or two of those verses that we were thinking about that help us battle porn. I sort of pick those out randomly because they're verses I know, but really the whole Bible helps us to see how glorious and beautiful God's love is. So every time you read the Bible, pick out verses that help you to see how much more glorious it is than any idol. In the olden days, they would have called this meditating, so chewing over Bible truths, thinking about them, learning them, not just thinking, oh, it says God is loving. Oh, brilliant. Move on. But kind of really thinking about that, think about it through the day.
Yeah, just keep asking questions of verses. So do I believe this? Do I not believe it? What would my life look like if I did believe it? What would my life look like if I didn't believe it? You know, and just keep chewing things in that way by keep questioning, I think, is helpful. Let's finish last few minutes just with some practical things. There's a question here about internet software. How valuable is it? What can we realistically expect to get from it?
Thank you. So you can get internet software that either blocks lots of sites, so like a child filter, or you can get internet software that sends all of the websites that you visit to someone else who you've obviously told that you're going to do that. I think both are useful. We just got to keep saying, you know, this is part of us taking sin seriously. So if we do want to take sin seriously, we are going to be willing to do radical things like blocking off parts of the internet so that we help us fight temptation. We are going to do radical things like showing our friends how we're struggling. But then we've also got to keep remembering it's not going to be those things that change our hearts. If you want to look at porn, we'll find a way somehow. I guess the advantage of this is it kind of gives us a little bit of space, almost kind of like breathing space. So if you're addicted to smoking and trying to give up smoking, hanging around in pubs the whole time where they were smoking, obviously that doesn't work anymore, because smoking. But like hanging around where lots of people smoking isn't going to help you. So give yourself some fresh air. That won't actually change your heart, but that gives your kind of heart space to change, if that makes sense. So I do recommend them.
Last question. So lots of questions just generally about any more practical tips. Should we have a word from both of you? Practical tips on helping?
This is one of the really massive ways that we can help each other as a church family. Obviously, we're not all going to tell each other, everyone, what we struggle with. We're only going to tell a few people. But we can all help each other just by being really good friends to each other. And actually, if a big reason that actually we turn to porn is because we're looking for friendship and intimacy, obviously we find that ultimately in Jesus. But the way we often experience his love is through each other. And so not kind of just talking about porn all the time, but just being good friends to each other is going to help us a lot in this area. It's the best way to help someone if they're struggling is by being a really good friend to them.
One thing I think is just like naming sin a sin, and Matt talked about this quite a lot, as in like confessing our sin, so like daily repentance before the Lord, and not letting it be that secret part of our lives which we don't talk about. So like talking about it with others and not hiding it away.
Matt, do you want to finish by praying?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus and how wonderful and beautiful his love is for us. And pray that we would know that beauty in our own lives, and more his love would help us to live lives of love, not lusting, but loving people and actively going out this week to serve other people with the time and energy and imagination you've given us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.